Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul is joining us on the Western Hotline, brought to you by Los Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. As a Yankee fan, are you calling for an investigation? Do you want, like, are you going to ask for damages?
No, it's just fun to talk to my Red Sox fans right now. That's enough. Just to be able to.
Do they even care? Like, a Boston sports fan probably doesn't even care, do they?
Well, I remember one person I talked to yesterday. Well, it does upset me that my team cheated, but, you know.
Clearly that wasn't a Patriots fan.
But she was working really, really hard to make the Astros sound worse than the Red Sox.
I know. That's right. If you're a Boston sports fan, you'd be like, we've done this with our football team, so why would it matter? Like, it just, all right.
Yeah, but she's a Giants fan, not a Patriots fan.
Oh, okay. So. I gotcha. So, Paul, in the time you've covered Jack Eichel's career with the Buffalo Sabres, what's the running total on how many times you've been sitting in the press box watching him, he makes a play, and you go, wow, even if it's under your breath because there's no cheering allowed in the press box?
Yeah, he does at times make you just shake your head going, how did he do that? And that was another one last night for the goal that he scored. And it's interesting, too, that, you know, he could play the way he had played before that. He had had some turnover problems. It wasn't one of his banner nights. And then he does that. You know, and it's like you kind of forget about all the other stuff that had happened before that. It was interesting. There was one save that Ullmark had to make. He was sprawled down. It looked like almost a layup for Stasny. And Eichel had given the puck away. It was a horrible turnover. And he came back and actually thanked him. I mean, he patted him on the head and actually thanked him for that. But that's what great players do. I mean, they can have an off night and then all of a sudden pick it up and that off night is over. You know, and it's great players can do things like that, and Eichel certainly did that.
He's one of, what, six players in the league. Dan Dunleavy had the stat on the broadcast last night, Dan and Rob. Six players have multiple point streaks of eight games or more so far this season. Yeah, the one that was, whatever,
17 officially?
18, or? 19 that stopped.
It was 18. He had 18. Scored in 18, his 18 games.
Yeah.
And now he's scored in eight, so now he has scored in 26 of his last 28 games.
It's pretty good.
And, you know, the thing is, you know, if you're the other team, this is, what coach was saying this the other day, Paul? They were talking about, you know, it's coming with Eichel and you still can't stop him.
Yeah, that's kind of like what, who was it? Might have been Tockett or somebody was saying the other day.
Somebody they just played, right. One of the coaches from the team they would have played in the last week or two.
Yeah, he's like, we couldn't stop him last time, and we've got to try to stop him this time. And it was like, well, yeah, we're doing everything we can to defense him, and he still breaks loose.
Yeah. You know it's coming, and he's the main guy, and yet you still you have difficulty stopping him, which is truly – you know, the one of the elements that makes these guys great. When you know they're the guy you got to stop and they still make their plays, and on a team where we sit here and talk about how many options do they have and they're rotating different left wingers in on his line, and he's still able to produce on a night-by-night basis.
And the thing is, too, I think that the fact that in past years he liked to pass a lot in those situations and he's shooting more now, and I think that helped him in that spot because Gergensen's was open. And he gave Gergensen a look like he was going to come across the crease with the puck to give him a tap-in opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think Fleury thought the same thing. And Fleury cheated towards Gergensen's and, you know, gave Eichel a lot of the net then to shoot at.
Yeah, Paul, the one angle from behind did show there was a lot of net because he cheated across. And, you know, the one thing he does, he scores so many of his goals on the rush, both from the left side, from the right side. He's got such a lethal shot that if you're a goaltender, you've got to be wondering, what should I be afraid of here? What should I play? Should I play the shot? Should I play the pass? Should I play the deke? I mean, it's really a complete package when it comes to the way he plays on the rush.
Well, Kelly tweeted that Eichel leads the league in end-to-end rushes.
Yeah, Mike Kelly, yeah. Yeah, number one in the league at in all strengths, number three at even strength, which is, you know, what they need. But the power play, I mean, he does it on the power play too. And last night, that's a big, you know, Paul, I have an email from a listener about, can the Sabres, we've done this before, go on a run to make a run, right? Like in the next 13 games, they do have a bunch of home games coming out of the bye.
9 out of 10.
Yeah. So can they get themselves in a position to make a run? And I tweeted about this, that last night's game is the formula. You need your goalies to make big saves, and you need the special teams to show up. The power play scoring 2 goals. Their secondary scoring is their power play most often. So if you want a blueprint, I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but it comes down to goaltending and special teams to get this team on that run to make a run probably.
Yeah, that's 2 games in a row the power play has scored 2 goals, and they're 6 of their last 14 in the last 5 games. And one of the things that I'm noticing and they've talked about is they're getting movement now. Eichel isn't necessarily in the same place all the time now. I've seen him in the middle. I've seen him go from side to side. He's moving. Reinhardt's moving around. I said, and I asked Reinhardt in the post game last night, I said, well, what are they doing? I said, it seems like you're never in the same place. It seems like sometimes you're in the circle, sometimes you're in front of the net, sometimes you go over to the other circle. I said, is that the idea to make the other team like, where is he? He goes, that's what I say to myself sometimes. I don't know where I am out there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was kind of the new wrinkle that they put in. They're trying to get movement out of a couple of guys and get them in spots that the other team's not expecting them to be in, with Ristolainen kind of being the guy in front of the net now.
He made – actually, I mean, the Reinhardt goal was some really nice – I mean, that's what you do on the power play, right? That was really nice passing, right? It was Dahlin – I think I got the order right. It was Dahlin over to Eichel, down to Ristolainen by the side of the net, and he sets up Reinhardt who you know, roofs the shot. That's exactly what you want to do on that power play. Keep it moving, get it to the open spot, and a prime scoring opportunity.
And there was movement from Ristolainen. He was in front of the net. And he gave Eichel a pass. He dropped from in front of the net,
yeah,
and got himself off to the side a little bit and gave Eichel a play. You know, instead of everybody standing still, and it's like, well, hopefully we can stand still here and Dahlin can either feed Eichel for a one-timer or Olofsson for a one-timer, which became Johansson once Olofsson got hurt. Everybody was just kind of standing in their stations and hoping that, all right, if we get past the puck back and forth and back and forth, we'll finally get a lane that we can get that one-timer. And teams, for how many games now, we're taking that away now with this movement that they're doing. Plus, Dahlin is getting shots, which now the other team has to respect. They're like, well, wait a minute. Dahlin's shooting now. He wasn't doing that at all before. He always knew Dahlin was going to pass. And now that they have to respect the shot, that gives Dahlin better chances if he wants to pass the puck.
Back to the whole getting back in the race and the schedule that comes up after the break with 9 of 10 at home. They've been very good at home. They've been very bad on the road. Why the big difference, and what can they do to try and get a few more points away from home?
Yeah, it seemed like they get away from their what they want to do, what Kruger's trying to get them to do on the road more. I don't know if the crowd gets going or this team too. This is the trait of this team for a long time, long before Kruger ever got here. That sometimes when things start going bad and a couple of things go bad, it just snowballs. They're like, uh oh, turned into, oh geez, we just gave up 3. You know, type of thing. And that normally happens on the road more than it does at home. They tend to get rolling a little bit better at home. The fans get behind them. There have been a lot of times this year the building has been a lot louder than I've had it, heard it in a while. And that gets them charged up and going. But, you know, at least, you know, one thing the Detroit game did for them is that broke that road streak. I mean, they had won 1 of 10 games on the road. And I think the losing streak might have been up to 6. I'm going
it
by
was
memory.
6, yep.
You know, so at least that kind of got that out of the way. All right, you've beaten Detroit. I understand Detroit is not playing well right now, but still, you beat them on the road. And Dallas is not an easy place for them. It's not an easy place for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember last year, I think it was a 1-0 game, but Dallas completely controlled the game. And, you know, they like to hit you in their building. And it's just might not be a great matchup, but they do pretty well in Nashville. I mean, they tend to go out there and play pretty good games in Nashville. So, you know, you talk about going on a streak here with all those home games coming up. You know, now you've won four out of six games. If you can split this, if you can get one of the two games on the road here, when you get back, it's going to be a lot of home cooking coming up. And if you have any hope to get on a run and get back into this thing and maybe, you know, try to catch the Flyers, I think that's your hope right there.
Last thing, Paul, and you were talking about the team bouncing back. And I thought Eichel had some interesting comments to you guys in the locker room last night about Ralph Kruger and how he's been really good at, I believe he used the term, resetting them. Like after a bad loss, bringing a good attitude, the coach bringing a good attitude to the rink the next day and being able to reset them. And he had a lot of really great things to say about Ralph Kruger's, I guess, day-to-day approach to handling this team, and especially after bad losses like Tampa, Vancouver, things like that.
Another thing Ralph Kruger seems to be doing now, at least he's admitting to it, is he's getting a little more cranky after that Vancouver loss. We talked about it in Detroit for the pregame, and he said it again last night. He said, you know, after the second period, we were stern, we were angry. And it wasn't just the coaching staff. It was the players, too, trying to take accountability. And so it's not just, you know, he talks about the positives all the time, but he's not just in the dressing room, you know, kissing everybody and hugging everybody and telling them how great they are. I mean, when he has to get his dander up, he can too.
Paul with us on the Wester Hotline. Mr. Hamilton, thank you as always, sir. Appreciate the time on the show today.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.